Chapter 3. I ran until I was exhausted, and I fell by the side of the road. I lay still, listening to the sound of my own breathing for a long time, and when I sat up, I couldn't understand where I was or what had happened. I had lost my hat, and my shirt was open. I remembered the noise and the heat, but now there was only silence. I felt like my everyday self, but I had just seen Martians kill people I knew. Had that really happened? I couldn't believe it. I got up and started to walk. A man and his boy came towards me. "Good evening," he said. I heard a train and I saw the houses of Woking. Everything appeared so normal. I noticed a group of people and stopped to ask them, "Is there any news?"
"About what?" said a woman.
"Haven't you heard about the Martians?" I asked.
They all laughed, and I couldn't explain what I had seen.
When I got home, my wife was shocked.
"Look at you," she said. "What happened?
Sit down and tell me everything."
I sat down and drank a cup of tea before telling her everything I had seen. When I saw her face turn white, I knew that she believed me.
"They may come here," she said.
"I don't think they can climb out of the crater they're in. They're big and heavy and slow," I said. I explained to my wife that since gravity on Earth is much stronger than on Mars, the Martians would feel heavy and find it difficult to move. We ate our dinner, and I persuaded my wife that we were in no danger from the Martians, though I'm not sure I believed it myself. "They're stupid creatures," I said. "They're trapped in that crater, and we can kill them all." I didn't realize it, but the dinner I ate that Friday evening would be the last good food I would eat for a very long time. It had been a long day, but I went out again after dinner. A few houses were still burning on the edge of town, and there was a small crowd near the crater. But those who went too near the Martians were killed by the flash of the heat ray that shot out of the cylinder. I heard noises coming from the crater as the Martians worked all night. They were getting their machines ready, and from time to time a ball of green smoke was seen rising up to the stars. Late at night, soldiers started to appear outside the town. As more arrived, they surrounded the cylinder in the crater, and at about midnight they saw a star fall from the sky into the trees. It was green, bright, and silent. This was the second cylinder. Saturday was another hot and sunny day. I woke up early and had my breakfast in the garden. Then I heard the train to Woking, and everything seemed normal again. I saw my neighbor in his garden.
"What do you think about this Martian landing?" I asked him.
"The soldiers will put an end to it," he said. "It's a shame the Martians aren't more friendly. It would be interesting to know how they live on Mars. We might learn something from them." He gave me some vegetables from his garden. "They say another one has landed," he said. After breakfast, I walked back to the crater. In my panic, I had left my bicycle there, and I wanted to try and find it. The soldiers who surrounded the cylinder wouldn't let me go near it, but they were sure they could beat the Martians. "We'll wait until dark and kill the lot of them," one told me. The Martians weren't seen all day, but they appeared to be busy. There was a noise as if they were building something, but the soldiers had persuaded me that the Martians would soon be defeated. They were trapped in their cylinder, in a crater, with soldiers all around them. So it should be easy.
In the afternoon, my wife and I were having a quiet cup of tea in the garden when everything suddenly changed. We heard a distant bang and sounds of gunshot. Then there was a crash. The ground shook and the tops of some nearby trees caught fire. Then our little church fell down. There was a bang from our roof, and a lot of bricks fell into the garden. There was banging and heat all around us. "We have to escape," I shouted to my wife. "We can't possibly stay here." "But where can we go?" she cried. I pushed her out into the road and ran upstairs for a box for our things. When I came down, I found my wife outside, and I shouted to her over the noise. "We can go to my cousin's in Leatherhead." "But how will we get there?" she asked. "Wait here," I said, and I ran to the nearest pub, as I knew the landlord had a horse and cart. "I'll give you £2 if I can have your horse and cart until midnight," I said. "What's going on?" he asked. He had no idea, and I was worried about how he would escape. I drove the horse and cart back to my house. Some trees in the garden were burning now, and a soldier came and shouted to people to leave their homes. I quickly packed some things in the box and put it onto the cart before helping my servant and my wife to climb up. We drove fast down the hill and through the town, soon escaping the noise and smoke as we drove towards Leatherhead. I looked back at the red fire, black smoke, and flashes of white in the air behind me. The road was filling with people running to escape, and I could hear gunshots as the soldiers tried to defeat the Martians. I drove as fast as I could, and soon we left Woking behind us.